Once again, it is a privilege to be here. As I was thinking of this service many, many weeks ago, I was just reflecting upon the times when I sat in the pew here, and as men from the Belfast City Mission came to give an account of some of the work that they were involved in. It was wonderful. It was amazing. Because as they gave those accounts, they brought the work alive to us. And little did I know that years down the line, I would be here under the auspices of the Belfast City Mission, speaking of the work myself, about how the Lord is working in Belfast in these days. In those days, Belfast was quite a different place. It was a place full of trouble and strife and murders and bombing and many other things. But indeed, it has changed a little. But it's not completely changed. There are still evidences of paramilitary influences. There are still evidence of evil that are stalking the streets. Attitudes have changed. Attitudes to the gospel have changed. But we praise God that the message is still the same. People change. Things change. But Jesus never changes. I've been working in the Belfast City Mission now for 6 years almost. Started off in the Shore Road, there with Arthur McClellan. And Arthur, as you know, if you do know him, he is a true Belfast man. And there I went along with Arthur, coming from what we would call the country here, up into Belfast. And indeed, it was maybe a culture shock for me, and maybe even another shock for him. But it was wonderful to have those 6 months along with Arthur on the Shore Road. And then the Lord called me to Ballysillan in North Belfast. And I'm sure you have heard very much about Ballysillan many times and all the things that goes on in that particular area. It is very much a loyalist area, but sandwiched in between two Republican areas, from the Ardoyne in the bottom to the Ligonil in the top. But in the 6 years that I've been there, or 5 years that I've been there, the Lord has blessed us, and the Lord has used us mightily for the work there. It is a challenging work. You suddenly realize when you join the Belfast City Mission, it's not a walk in the park. Far from it. You meet people. And I call those people I meet real people with real problems and real situations of life. But as I've said, that the Lord has seen himself move in that area. In my time there, we have had 8 different people who have come to know the Lord as their Savior. My first 2 converts there, for want of a word, were a husband and wife. And it's wonderful today to visit that home and see the change that has been wrought in their lives. Those 2 people were very much in need of the Lord. I was invited to go and visit them. And I went that day to visit them in their home. And I talked about many things to them in general. And I was about to just leave that home that particular day, just about to pray and leave them. But a deep sense of the Holy Spirit come upon that home. And I looked up, and the 2 of them, the tears were flooding down their face. And they said to me that day, "You know, David, we need the Lord." And what a privilege it was that day to lead them to the Lord. And it hasn't stopped there, because they have now become full communicant members of Eglinton Presbyterian Church, just down below us. And yes, I can go into that home today and just feel the presence of God. These are people that you meet. Another incident of another lady. Her mother came to the mission hall many, many years ago, but now is sadly of bad health. And just one day I was down visiting her in her home, and her daughter happened to be there. And we talked about different things. And then our chat came round to the way the Lord has blessed us and helped us over the years. And her daughter was listening. And all of a sudden she stopped the conversation and she says, "You see that Lord that you're talking about? I need that Lord in my life." And what a privilege that day in the midst of her mother just to hear that daughter pray unto the Lord for the Lord to come into her life. And yes, another incident, another place for such a time as this. Another situation of a brother and a half-sister who lived together. And unfortunately, they had asked that the local church would visit them. And sadly, the church never did it. They never frequented the home. I was told about this, and the person who told me and said to me, "Maybe, David, you would pay them a visit." So I did. I went in, and into a situation like that, you face anger, you face resentment to the things of the church. But the Lord that day enabled me to bring a source of help and a source of comfort to those 2 people. And yes, after that, I went a few other times. Sadly, the brother was ill. He was taken to hospital. I visited him there. And then just one day I was driving along the road, and you know the way the Lord just brings someone into your mind. And that day, Jim came into my mind. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, "You must go and visit Jim." So I turned the car and I went up to the Royal. And I went into his bed, and there he was sitting. And I sat down beside him, asked him how he was, and he says, you know what it's like? Not so well. I opened up the scripture and I read Psalm 23 to him. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And just after I'd finished reading that, I looked up and I said to Jim, "You see, this Lord I've just been reading about here, do you truly know this Lord?" He says, "Not really." I said, "Would you like to know him?" And Jim, in his deep voice, said, "Yes, I would." Praise God, that day, Jim gave his life to the Lord. You see, the Lord moved. The Lord knew it was Jim's time. The thing is, he needed someone there to lead him. Sadly, just 3 weeks after that, Jim passed away. But how wonderful it was at his funeral just to give an indication to the people there that Jim was no longer there. He was with the Lord. His sister, still visit her. His sister's only about 5 stone in weight. She suffered eating disorder in her life. Her father died very quickly and early on in life. This girl has been recently diagnosed with cancer. She is going through treatment. At this time, she's only 5 stone. And it's sad. But even her, in her situation, when she found out the particular day that she had what she had, I happened to be around at her house that particular day. And she went on her own to find out the news. Very brave. And she told me what she had, and I said to her, "You know, there's someone who can go with you through this, and that's the Lord." And she just lifted her head. She says, "You know, I didn't really know that Jim, my half-brother, gave his life to the Lord until the day you came in to tell me about it." And that day, that particular Friday, as I prayed with her, she gave her life to the Lord as well. Yes, she still struggles, and she needs prayer, in particular at this time. Her name is Sarah. Pray for her. These are situations that we face in the Belfast City Mission. These are things that are real. And they're deep. Remember also those who are suffering psychologically at this time in Belfast. The troubles, you know, have left a psychological scar in many people. One particular man, Tom, he lives down the Silver Stream. And this man is deeply haunted by his past. There was one particular day, his daughter rang me and said, "You know, my dad's in a bad place. Could you speak to him?" That day, I spoke to Tom, and I gave him many encouragements in the Lord, and left scripture with him. And thankfully, after the minutes that he had read and learned those scriptures and heard of them, he was laughing. But this man, you know, knows the Lord in a certain way. He doesn't know him fully. He needs to know the Lord fully in his life. He's partly there. He lacks fellowship. But pray for him, that the Lord will bring him into a full relationship with himself. This man seen many sad things during the trouble and was involved. Sometimes he's able to keep me informed to what's going on in the area by way of paramilitary activity. Because there is, as I've said, paramilitary activity happening. There are two factions in the Ballysillan area. There's UVF, there's LVF, there's UDA. And they're fighting for power. And today also, they have become an influence in the younger generation as well. One particular lad, I was out in outreach, and this man, he is tattooed to the eyeballs, as the saying would go. This man has been in prison, and as I talked to him that day, and he told me about the chaplain of the prison coming round and speaking to him in prison and all of those things, I said to him, "You know, like, what was your reaction? What's your reaction to the Lord? How do you see the Lord?" He says, "I know of the Lord. But sadly, I don't know him personally." And I said, "Well, what's keeping you? What's keeping you from coming that whole way with the Lord?" He says, "You know, I've anger in my heart. I've got revenge in my heart. There's a lot of things that people done to me. I need to revenge. I need to do something about it." I left the gospel with him that day. Sadly, he has been involved recently. The police are never too far away from his door. But again, we pray for him. We pray that he won't become a true influence in some of the younger generation. The younger generation of Ballysillan, just like everywhere, you know, how many times have we said they're out of control? And sometimes that's the case. Just in recent days, it has been difficult around the hall. We have been inundated with some younger generation who have causing annoyance. Not only causing annoyance to places of worship, but also causing annoyance to vulnerable and elderly folk of the area. But we must pray for these young people. We must pray that the Lord will open their eyes to what is right rather than what is wrong. You know, sometimes we're in a difficult position. Yes, you want to see them coming in. You want to encourage them to come in, but you know, somehow you need to find the balance there. And we have to find that balance. This summer has been good in Ballysillan because we had a holiday club. And thank you again to Lauren and Johanna from here who joined with us in Ballysillan. And it was wonderful to have you. And I thank you for your contribution. And as you'll hear probably this evening, as Stanley over in Kimberley Street, in the bridge there, and other places where the Lord is working among the young people. There's Sunday school. We have up to 22 on our books in the Sunday school. Remember that work. It's not an easy work. Remember Michelle and myself and Grace and Sam as we work with the children of the Sunday school. Just there last, the other Sunday, we had a mother from one of the children who came to the service on Sunday. This has been a breakthrough. And just pray that that continues. And pray that those little children will be an influence upon the parents of the area as well. Look, I could go on and I could go on to talk about this work. But there is a little prayer update if you would like to avail of it, just in the vestibule, if you haven't already done so. And there's different prayer aspects there to be prayed for. Pray for the Belfast City Mission continually. And also the annual report, 185 years of this great old mission. Just pray that there'll be more years of this mission as well. It is the Lord's work. It is not our work. It is His. Just a few words just about our little passage that we read together. We notice there that the Lord Jesus had sent the disciples out into the midst of the storm. And many times in Belfast, you feel you're in the midst of the storm. We have an environment there in which our pilgrimage takes place. And as we look at the world today, the advertisers that we have in the world today would believe that we live in some kind of an amusement park, a place where everything is safe and everything can be tried and tasted without danger or harm. Most people think of this world today like a shopping mall, a place where we are supposed to be in control and everything caters for our desires. And yet experience tells us that this is neither what it is. And we are in the storm today. But the thing is, we have someone with us. And that is the Lord God. He is with us. Just as He was with those disciples. You see, those disciples were sent out with the message. They were sent out to be the Lord's servant. And here was an incident here where the Lord Jesus, in essence, in their eyes, He had forgotten about them. He was in the boat, but He was asleep. But when He arose, He rebuked the wind and the raging waters. And the storm subsided and all was calm. You see, He said, "Peace, be still." And maybe today, you're in the midst of a storm. You're in the midst of a trial. Some trouble that's around your door even. And you're seeking for some help. You're seeking for some encouragement. And somehow you think maybe God has forgotten about you. But you see, He hasn't. He is still the God of the storm. He is still our refuge and our strength. He is still a very present help in trouble. He comes to you this morning, and he says, "Peace, be still." But he wants you to listen. He wants you to listen and to be still and know that he is God. This incident in the lake reminded the disciples that they were only but weak, but he is strong. This is the Lord God this morning. He is the God who brings calm and peace. But you see, he can only do that if you open your heart to him. He can only do that if you open your ears to listen. He can only do that if you open your eyes to see. He has done all for us. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus. He came into the world to bear our sins on the cross. He came into the world, you see, to reconcile you to God. He is the interceder. He's the only one that can help you in the storms of life. He has helped many in Ballysillan. He has helped many in Ahuchel. He is still here today. He's in the boat. He is with you. And he wants you to call out to him in prayer. And he wants you to seek that peace that passeth all understanding. He wants you to know who he is. Philippians 4. 6 and 7 says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And something will happen if you do that. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a promise that God gives to those who hearken to his voice. The Belfast City Mission is about taking the gospel. The Belfast City Mission remains to be Christ-centered. The Belfast City Mission remains to look to the Lord God of the storm. And these are days of storm and raging winds. But the wonderful thing is that he will never leave us, nor forsake us, even on to the end of the day. This is the God who offers himself to you. And he says, come. Come and I will give you rest. May the Lord help you to do so for Jesus' sake. Amen.